أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين قال الصادق عليه السلام في مصباح الشريعة أما أصول معاملة الله تعالى فسبعة أشياء أداء حقه وحفظ حده وشكر عطائه والرضا بقضائه والصبر على بلائه وتعظيم حرمته والشوق إليه. We were discussing a hadith from Misbah al-Sharia attributed to Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, in which he describes the true ubudiyyah, servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that servitude, as we discussed, are based on four different aspects. It's the way we treat Allah, the way we treat our nafs, the way we treat the people, and the way we treat this dunya, the life of this world. And each of them are based on seven pillars, seven principles. Now, the seven principles about treatment or conduct with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First of all, he said, it is ada'u haqqih, to pay him his rights, to fulfill what is due to him. Of course, we never can fulfill what is due to Allah, whether it's in terms of servitude or in terms of thanksgiving, in terms of keeping, observing the limits of his respect, we cannot do that because we don't have ma'rifah and knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, based on our understanding, we have to fulfill these things. We have two types of knowledge of Allah. One is a knowledge that preliminary is formed in our mind about the Creator, about God. Who's He? Who has created us? We see the signs in the world. He is quite absent from our understanding, our grasp. The only thing we see of Him are His signs. This is what the Quran calls ayat, the evidence. With the abundance of the evidence around us, we do not need any philosophical proof. We do not need any argument to prove God. Those who try to prove God philosophically, rationally, or by science, all these things, they are just trying to prove the obvious. It's quite obvious, despite the evidence which is available. Unless if we close our eyes to the evidence. Now, despite all these, we see His evidence, but we don't see Him. It's all His ayat, it's His signs that we see. Our hearts are depleted of His ma'rifah. His ma'rifah, not ma'rifah of His signs. So, initially what we see are His signs. These signs guide us and lead us to Him. Then we want to know more about Him. We want to have an immediate, direct knowledge and understanding of Him. This is very difficult to get because Allah is the purest of pure. Anything related to Allah cannot fall, cannot be captured only by purity. And Allah has placed, has installed a faculty in us, something, a precious gem in us, by which we can grasp Him, have His, not knowledge this time, His ma'rifah, that direct, without any intermediary, that knowledge which falls into the heart, not the knowledge of His signs. And that ma'rifah only goes into pure hearts. And therefore, the ulama, the scholars of akhlaq and irfan, they tell us, if you want that ma'rifah of God, you cannot find it in books. You cannot study about it. Whatever you find in books, whatever you study, it's all His signs. Or it's a mental argument leading you to the fact that, yes, there should be a prime cause for this creation. There should be someone behind all these. There's a hand behind the movement of night and day and sun and moon and earth and creation of universe. Yes, you can find this in books. You can find it around yourself. But that ma'rifah of the one who's behind all these, this needs a pure heart. It doesn't come through eyes or ears, it comes through the hearts. Now, the ulama, as I said, the scholars of akhlaq and irfan tell us, if you want that direct, immediate, without intermediary knowledge of God, ma'rifah of God, you have to purify yourself. And that purification only comes through Al-Ubudiyyah, servitude. This verse in Surah Az-Zariyat has perplexed many people. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لَيَعْبُدُونَ I have not created jinn and man but to worship me. Why? Do you need worship? Do you want to worship a God who is in need of worship? No, of course not. We don't want to worship a God who is in need of anything, let alone in need of worship, in need of praise, in need of flattery. We don't want to worship such a God. So what's the meaning of this verse? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لَيَعْبُدُونَ I have not created jinn and ins but to worship me, but to do ubudiyyah for me. And then it catches up, it redresses immediately so that we are not mistaken. مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ I don't want sustenance from you. I don't want you to feed me. I don't want you to worship me because I need your worship. No. I have created you for worship because worship is the vehicle by which you could come close to me. You can attain perfection. And that sense of worship Allah has put in our hearts. That sense of ubudiyyah Allah has put in our hearts. Tell me, in your mind, just analyze this. Why worshiping other things other than God is such a great sin? Why idolatry, idol worshiping? Why is it such a great sin? Well, people, some worship God, some worship idols, statues, other things. Why Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ Allah does not forgive shirk, but forgive anything else other than shirk. Why is it such a great sin? The reason is that vehicle, that faculty, that facility that Allah has placed in you to go close to Him, you use it to go farther away from Him. You spend it on something else. This is something which is absolute divergence and diversion from the path of truth. Because as Allah says in Surah Al-Hajj, ذلك بأن الله هو الحق وأن ما يدعون من دونه الباطل. Because Allah is the reality. Whatever they call beside Allah is nullity, is nothing, is just illusion. And He doesn't like us to be in illusion all our lives. And it's not only worshipping idols, it's worshipping our desires, it's worshipping our own self, it's worshipping our pride. All these are there. So, these pillars of Ubudiyya, principles of Ubudiyya, are grasped deeper and deeper as we gain more knowledge, more immediate knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what are these principles, the seven principles? Ada'u haqqahi, to fulfill his rights. And his right is to be worshipped, not for his sake, but for our sake. Whatever Allah has asked us is not for him, it's for us. If we can actually internalize this equation inside ourselves, then everything we do in the sake of God would become easy for us. وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. If you are grateful, you are grateful because of yourself. I don't benefit, take any benefit from it. وَمَنْ جَاهَدَ فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدُ لِنَفْسِهِ. Whoever strives for his own self, her own self. So, when we say we want to fulfill his rights, it's for us, not for him. And one of his rights is that he should be worshipped, he should be praised, again for us. Remember this verse in the Quran that the Prophet, peace be on him, says, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهَا أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. I don't want any reward, any remuneration from you, but to love my next of kin, my household. Does Prophet take any benefit out of that? No, of course not. Of course, the Ummah after the Prophet did not listen to him. And not only did not love them, but killed them, hated them, sweared at them, disparaged them. Okay, what happened to the Prophet? Any harm? No, of course not. Because then the Prophet says, قُلْ مَا سَأَلْتُكُمْ مِنْ أَجْرٍ فَهُوَ لَكُمْ. If I asked you any reward, it was for you. If I say you love my Ahlul Bayt, it's because of you, because if you love them, you follow them, then you will be guided. And if Allah asks us something, it's for us. So fulfilling his rights is one of the greatest pillars of Ubudiyya. Look at this hadith in Al-Kafi, a very beautiful hadith about how we have to worship God, because worship has different levels of depth. We do our salat and we know our salats, our prayers have different levels of depth. When the Prophet says Allahu Akbar, his Allahu Akbar is very different from our Allahu Akbar, because he says it with knowledge. He says it with understanding. And that's why we have in hadith two rak'ah of salat with depth, with understanding. Of an alim is better than 1,000 rak'ah salat of a jahil, of an ignorant person. Because the quality is different. We all aim for excellence, for quality. In everything in life, we look for quality. when it comes to our relation with God, of course we have to look for quality. That is the most important aspect of our life. And in our relation with God, we have to look for quality. It's not just a mechanical sort of thing that, okay, I prayed my 4 rakahs, I've done my duty, and that's all, let's leave it until next time, next occasion of Salat. No, that's not the quality. The quality is that it goes in heart at every moment. Now, this hadith says this hadith is about the quality of worship. The quality of worship. So, ada'u haqqah, the way we can fulfill his rights, is like this. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أفضل الناس من أشق العبادة فعانقها وأحبها بقلبه وباشرها بجسده وتفرق لها. The best of all people is the one who is in intense love for worship. Where does this intense love for worship come? It comes from the intense love of Allah. If you are in intense love with someone, you always want to be with them. You always want to express your feelings towards them. You always want to make them happy. And this extensive love for Allah, for worship, of course, is because we want to express our feelings to our Lord. Ya Allah, I love you. And the evidence for my love are the tears that are falling down my cheek. I'm trembling before you. I have the longing for you. This is the evidence for our love. So the best of all people, man ashaq al-ibadah. Rarely we have this term used in our hadith or in the Quran. It's not used, ashq. Ashq is extensive love. Very, very strong love. It's not used in the Quran. It's not used in the hadith, very rarely. This one is, of course, one of those rare instances where this term is used. And it's not ashq for God. It's ashq for worshiping God. Man ashaq al-ibadah. Now, in this month of Ramadan, all of us are going to offer some worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Praise Him, supplicate, ask Him things, confess to Him, repent to Him, tell Him that, Ya Allah, we are sinners, but we don't have anyone but You. Even as we have sinned, we have no other way but just to come back to You and You forgive us. These are the things we are going to whisper to our Lord, inshallah, in this month of Ramadan. Now, one of the most important things that we have to bear in mind is that we do not waste our time with mechanical worshiping. Okay, I have to recite Dua Jawshan al-Kabir from the beginning to the end. While I'm sometimes talking to someone, then I look at the screen, then I say a few words. No, this is not the quality of ibadah. This is not quality of worship. Or while I'm just sitting and others are reciting, I'm listening. This is not worship. It's good. For those who don't do anything but this, it's good. I don't mean that those who don't do anything but this leave this as well and go. No. For those who don't do anything but this, this is very good. Do not leave it. However, as I said, we have to look for quality, for excellence. And the quality is, when you recite this, your heart should tremble. You have to love talking to your Lord. One of the greatest urafa and teachers of akhlaq, Mirza Jawad Aghai Maliki Tabrizi, who was the teacher of Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayhi, and Imam Khomeini respected him very much. He says in one of his books, in مراقبات اعمال السنه. He says that especially in the night of Ramadan, especially in the night of Qadr, look at your heart. What you like to do, how you like to be. If you think you are reciting the Quran is becoming mechanical, leave it. If you think you are more prone to do salat, do salat. If you think you are more prone to do dua, do dua. Be careful about that quality. Quantity is not important. Quality is important. So, فَعَانَقَهَا وَأَحَبَّهَا بِقَلْبِهِ. This man or this woman, this person who is أَفْزَلُ النَّاسِ, hugs the ibadah as they hug their loved ones. And they love it with their hearts. And they do it with their body and their limbs. Then, such a person, this is the interesting part. فَهُوَ لَا يُبَالِي عَلَى مَا أَصْبَحَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى أُسْرٍ أَمْ عَلَى يُسْرٍ. Then they don't care in what situation they are in this world, wealthy or poor, in hardship or in comfort. It doesn't matter for them. A very interesting thing mentioned by the commentator on this hadith, Mullah Saleh Mazandarani, says that the hadith actually implies that being in comfort, being in wealth, does not contradict, has no conflict with having this love for worship. The main thing is that the heart should be free. The heart, if the heart is free, then whether you have or you don't have, it doesn't matter. The second hadith I want to mention here in this regard, Ada'u Haqqihi, is a hadith from Imam al-Sadiq again in Al-Kafi. قَالَ فِي التَّوْرَاتِ مَكْتُوبَ. It is written in Torah. We know that the knowledge of our A'imma or the prophets about Torah is an inherent God-given knowledge. It's not that they had to read the Torah to find out what is in it. It's just like the knowledge of Quran. It's in their heart. So if sometimes we find things in traditions about what is written in the Quran or what is written in the Hadith, in the Injil, it may differ a little bit with the versions of Torah or Injil of our time or that time, because we know that there has been changes and different versions of these books. مَكْتُوبٌ فِي التَّوْرَاتِ يَبْنَ آدَمْ تَفَرَّغْ لِعِبَادَتِي أَمْلَ قَلْبَكَ غِنَى. You free yourself for my worship. And worship, as I said, is not only praying and fasting. Anything we do in love of God as a duty that we have in this world is worship. Anything we do is worship, if we have that heart. So when here he says, تَفَرَّغْ لِعِبَادَتِي, free yourself for my ibadah, it means leave aside all other bonds, all other relations of your heart with different things, and just think about me. Then you do, of course, as a matter of course, you do whatever other people do in this world. However, your heart is not impacted by it. So, تَفَرَّغْ لِعِبَادَتِي أَمْلَ قَلْبَكَ غِنَى. You free yourself for my worship, I fill your heart with needlessness, with richness, with غِنَى. Then nothing in this world, everything in this world will look like trifle for you. Nothing in this world will worry you. Just like our Prophet, peace be on him. Nothing in this world ever worried him. Nothing in this world ever moved him because it was nothing. I mentioned an example last time in Persian. I repeat it in English now. Do you ever feel jealous about these little crumbs that the ants carry to their nest? Do they ever feel that you want to take some of it? Do you ever feel that it's worth anything at all? Do they ever fight over it with somebody else? It's a trifle, it's nothing. Anyone wanting to do that would be dubbed as a silly, stupid person by others. Now, the whole world in the eyes of those people is like this trifle. Those things which are carried by these ants here and there. This is how the world looks for them. This is when Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam says, this world of you, that's that bond of heart to this world. When the heart is captured by the world. This is the meaning of world. Not, of course, riches of this world. People may have it or not have it. When he says, this world of you has less value for me than the bone of a pig, of a dead pig in the hand of a leper. How much that is worth to anyone? So this is when Allah fills the heart with ghina. It's very important. Why aren't we like that? Why don't we feel like Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam? Why this world is not a trifle for us as it was a trifle for him? Because we have not released our hearts for the worship of God. تَفَرَّغْ غَلْبِ لِعِبَادَتِكَ تَفَرَّغْ لِعِبَادَتِي أَمْلَعْ قَلْبَكَ غِنَى. And وَمْلَعْ قَلْبَكَ خَوْفًا مِنِّي أَمْلَعُ قَلْبَكَ خَوْفًا مِنِّي. I will fill your heart with my fear. That's one of the greatest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives to anyone. What other ada'u haqqihi, what other things we have to fulfill? Of course, we have some financial responsibilities, which is haqqullah. Like, for example, we have to pay zakat, we have to pay khums, we have to pay sadaqat. Paying these things, of course, it has an outside effect, and that is people who are in need would get a better distribution of wealth. That's, of course, there is no argument about it. But there's another very important point in that as well, and that is when you give away, your heart feels that these things are not important. The attachment of your heart to these things are reduced. And that's why the Quran says, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَحِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. Take sadaqah from them. Sadaqah here means zakat. Take zakat from them and purify them. Not purify their wealth, purify them. تُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. Cleanse them with that zakat that you take from them. Why? Because your heart is cleansed from the حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا. حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا, the love of this world, is reduced in your heart. So it has two functions. One function, when you pay zakat or sadaqah or whatever, is that people would benefit. We have a better distribution of wealth. We have justice in society. The other benefit is in yourself. You feel lighter. The heaviness of attachment to this world becomes lighter for you. That's a great benefit. Again, you pay the haqq of Allah for yourself. It's all for you. Okay, what else about ada'u haqqih? Wa hifdhu haddih.
What is حفظ حد؟
Keeping his respects, observing his limits. Now, one meaning of limit or had is what Allah mentions in the Quran, تلك حدود الله فلا تقربوها. There are certain things that Allah says, these are my boundaries, these are my limits that you should not trespass. This is one meaning of had. Yes, of course, we have to preserve those hudud. Usually, these hudud that Allah speaks about are with regards to relationship between man and woman, preserve his limits. Our relationship in the family, distribution of wealth, these are certain limits that Allah says, these are my boundaries, don't get close to them. تلك حدود الله فلا تقربوها. Do not get close to these boundaries even. Not only do not trespass them, but do not even get close to them. These are the boundaries. There's one meaning of حفظ حد. The other meaning of حفظ حد is to preserve his respect in the way we describe him, in the way we talk about him, in the way we think about him, and in the way we face him in our worship. This is also حفظ حد. Inshallah, I will elaborate more on this aspect of حفظ حد tomorrow night. I just speak a few minutes in Persian as well, and then inshallah we will have our salat, and Allah inshallah would bless us with acceptance of our fast, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. دیشب حدیثی رو عرض کردیم درباره اینکه عبودیت خداوند به چه نحو باید انجام بشه، اداء حق خداوند در عبودیت به چه نحو باید باشه. یک مسئله دیگه که در این حدیث هست حفظ حد خداست، اینکه حد خدا رو حفظ بکنیم. حد خدا دو تا معنا میتونه داشته باشه. یکی این چیزهایی که قرآن به عنوان حدود خداوند نام میبره که در واقع اونا هم حدود و مرزهاییست که خداوند برای تنظیم زندگی ما گذاشته، نباید از این مرزها عبور بکنیم، و این مرزها مرزهای ابدیست، مرزهاییست که ما باید جامعمون رو طبق اون مرزها تعریف بکنیم، نه اینکه جامعه ما اون مرزها رو تعریف بکنه. لذا نباید همیشه دنبال این باشیم که دین رو به صورت مدرن تعریف بکنیم. درسته یک جایی هست که مسئله حد خدا نیست، یه سری مسائل حاشیه‌ای بوده که در دین مطرح شده، مجتهدین راه‌های جدیدی براش پیدا میکنن، ولی وقتی میرسیم به حدود الله اینجا دیگه نمیشه ما بگیم که اینا را ما میخوایم تغییر بدیم. اینا دیگه مرزهای خداست، ما باید جامعهمون رو با این تنظیم بکنیم، ما باید ارزشهامون رو با این حدود تنظیم بکنیم. این یه معنای حدود الله. معنای دیگه ای که برای حدود الله هست اینه که درباره خدا درست حرف بزنیم، درباره خدا درست فکر بکنیم، درباره خدا درست برخورد بکنیم. اگر متوجه او میشیم، حدود این توجه رو حفظ بکنیم. این حفظ حد پروردگار. یکی از مهمترین اموری که باید در این حدود حفظ بشه اسماء الله. خداوند اسمایی داره، ولله الاسماء الحسنا، همه نام های زیبا مال خداست. میدونید در قرآن هیچ وقت خداوند از صفت خدا نام نمیبره، چون خداوند صفت نداره. خداوند برتر از آن است که صفتی داشته باشد. این از عقاید ما شیعانه و از عقاید معتزله. نمیتوان هیچ صفتی رو به او منسوب کرد و کمال الاخلاص له نفی الصفات عنه. کمال اخلاص برای خدا، کمال شناخت خدا اینه که شما صفات رو از او نفی بکنید. اما اسماء خدا چیه؟ اسماء خدا اون طوریه که خدا خودش رو شناسانده در این خلق به ما، همون یک ذات واحدی که صفتی نمیتونیم به او بدیم. از یک جنبه که نگاهش میکنیم رحیم، از یک جنبه نگاهش میکنیم غفور، از یک جنبه نگاهش میکنیم رزاق، از یک جنبه نگاهش میکنیم جبار. اینا اسماء حسنا لله الاسماء الحسنا، همه هر چی زیبایی در این دنیا هست از خداست، میدونیم چی؟ هر چی زشتی در این دنیا هست از ماست و از نگاه ما. یه وقت ما خودمون زشتی تولید میکنیم به اعمال زشتمون، یه وقت نگاهمون زشته به این عالم، طوری که نگاه میکنیم در این عالم زشتی میبینیم. پس زشتی یا از ما تولید میشه یا در نگاه ما زشتی وجود داره، در ذات ما زشتی وجود داره. و هر چه زیبایی در این دنیا هست از آن خداست. حالا اگر کسی بیاد این زشتی هایی که ما میبینیم به خدا منسوب بکنه، زیبایی های وجود خود، وقتی میگیم زیبایی نه زیبایی ظاهری ها، همین که خداوند خلاقه، علام، اینا زیبایی های خداست دیگه. ما بیایم اینا رو به دیگران منسوب بکنیم، این حفظ حد خدا رو نکردیم دیگه. این که در سوره فصلت میفرماید ولله الاسماء الحسنا فدعوه بها، خداوند همه نام های زیبا مال خداست، خدا رو با این نام های زیبا بخوانید. وذر الذین یلحدون فی اسمائه، کسانی که در نامهای خدا منحرف میشند اینا رو واگو بگذارید. منحرف میشن یعنی چی؟ همین یعنی شما این زیبا حیات، زندگی، تنها منبع حیات در این عالم خداست، ما به حیات او زنده ایم، ملائکه به حیات او زنده اند، همه چی به حیات او زنده است. حالا ما به این حیات رو به خودمون منسوب بکنیم، این انحراف در اسم خداست. زیبایی خدا رو به کسی دیگه نسبت دادیم، اینجا حفظ حد خدا نکردیم. بیایم ظلم هایی که در این عالم میشه به خدا منسوب بکنیم. بندگان انجام میدن این ظلم ها رو، ماها داریم انجام میدیم این ظلم ها رو. اگر قرار نبود خداوند تا روز قیامت به تأخیر بیاندازه دادگاه و محاکمه ما رو، که همه مردم عالم روی این زمین محو و نابود میشده اگر خداوند میخواست حکم بکنه الان. ولو اخذ الله الناس بظلمهم ما ترک على ظهرها من دابه، اگر خداوند میخواست مردم رو به ظلمشون بگیره یک موجود زنده رو زمین نمیگذاشت. این ظلم همه از ماست، اما ما اینو به خدا منسوب میکنیم. مشکلاتی که در زندگی ما پیش میاد، ببین اینا همه حفظ حد خداست ها، مشکلاتی که در زندگی ما پیش میاد به جای این که این رو به صفت نیکوی خداوند منسوب بکنیم که خدایا تو مدبری، تو طبیبی، یه وقت من احتیاج به دوای تلخ دارم، یه وقت احتیاج به غذای شیرین دارم، یه وقت احتیاج به جراحی دارم، تو میدانی من نمیدانم، به جای این که این رو به علم خدا منسوب بکنیم، این رو میان منسوب میکنیم به اینکه خدا نمیدونه چجوری باید امور ما رو اداره بکنه، یا خدا بخیل مثلا نمیخواد به ما بده یا نداره به ما بده. اینا همه از اون چیزهاییست که انحراف در اسماء خداست. حفظ حد خدا رو ما نکردیم. لذا در سوره صافات داریم سبحان الله عما یصفون الا عباد الله المخلصین، خداوند منزه است از هر چه این بنده ها دربارش میگن، از هر چه ماها دربارش میگیم، او پاکه از این حرف های نامربوطی که ما میزنیم درباره او، چیزی گردی به دامن او نمینشینه. سبحان الله عما یصفون، منزه از هر چه مردم میگن. فقط یه چیز، عباد الله مخلص، خالص شدگان، اینا اگر چیزی رو درباره خدا بگن حق میگن، اینا درست میگن. این پیغمبر اکرمه که میگه سبحانک ما عبدناک حق عبادتک، خدایا تو رو اونطور که شایسته بودی نپرستیدیم. و این ماییم که تا یه ذره عبادت میکنیم میگیم بس دیگه خدا، چقدر عبادت بکنیم، کارهای دیگه هم داریم. این دو نوع قلبه، دو نوع تفکره. در این ماه مبارک رمضان انشالله خداوند به همه ما توفیق بده که این قلبمون پاک بشه، این آلودگی های نفس از قلب ما زدوده بشه. تا اینا پاک نشه توجه ما به خدا کامل نمیشه. خداوند مهربان، البته هم قلب آلوده رو میپذیره هم قلب پاک رو میپذیره. منتها قلب پاک یک مقامی داره در چشم او، قلب ناپاک هم یک مقامی داره. و الا ما چه صالحمون چه طالحمون، چه محسنمون چه مسیعمون، نیکوکارمون و بدکارمون، همه بنده خداییم، همه چشم طمع به رحمت او داریم. موسی علیه السلام عرض کرد یا رب الاولیاء یا اله المحسنین، حالا همچین چیزیه. خداوند فرمود لبیک. بعد گفت یا اله المسیئین، ای خدای بدکاران. خداوند سه بار گفت لبیک. موسی گفت خدایا تو رو با محسنین صدا کردم، یک بار گفتی لبیک. گفتم خدای گناهکاران سه بار گفتی لبیک، چی حکمتش؟ گفت برای اینکه گناهکاران به من خیلی احتیاج دارن، به رحمت من خیلی نیازمندن، باید دستشونو بگیرم برشون گردانم دیگه. یک نفر که گمراه میشه بیشتر احتیاج داره به ملاطفت، به برگرداندن. پروردگارا به حق محمد و آل محمد، ما همه مسیعان و بدکاران درگاه توییم. به حق این ماه مبارک رمضان، قبل از تمام شدن این ماه دست ما رو بگیر و ما را به رو به سوی نور و قدس خودت هدایت بفرما. پروردگارا به حق محمد و آل محمد، امر و فرج ولی عصر نزدیک بگردان، دلهای ما را متوجه آن حضرت بگردان، ما را از سربازان و یاران آن حضرت قرار بده، توفیق شهادت در راه آن حضرت به ما عنایت بفرما. پروردگارا به حق محمد و آل محمد، گناهان جمع حاضر ببخش و بیامرز، مریضان جمع حاضر شفا عنایت بفرما، اموات جمع حاضر مشمول مغفرت و رحمت بگردان. به حق محمد و آله الطاهرین، اللهم صل علی